during the brief opening this evening that Miss Joy's arrangements, I texted them out to the church earlier this afternoon. They will be at Memorial Funeral Home. The visitation will be Tuesday from 12 to 2, and the graveside will be at Memorial Gardens at 2:30, and I will be officiating that. So please, if you can be there, do so. This evening will be very similar to what we did not too long ago for the Breens. As you know, they had their baby. Did you know that? Colby was born. Yes, amen. And they had to induce. So, you know, she remembered the horror story I told, you know, during the message that night. So I won't be doing that this evening. But, of course, we're with the Chalteries. They're a little bit more experienced. This is number four, right? Isn't that right? Wow. All right. Four. Isn't that wonderful? Girls, girls, girls. That's great. And here comes Chloe. She broke the five-minute barrier, at least, so hallelujah for that. Yes, honey?
Is it going to be Halloween tonight?
Is it going to be Halloween tonight? No, darling, it's not Halloween tonight. Would you go down there and sit with your brother right quick, please? Okay, well, go sit back down with him, okay? And wait till I'm finished before we talk again, all right? Okay, hurry up. Thank you. Whew, I'm glad that worked. Okay. Tonight, what I want to talk to you about, just for a few minutes, I've got a half a dozen scriptures here, the exact same scriptures we talked about last time when we did the Breen baby shower. And none of the heaters are on, so if you're hot, it's just being under the lights and being in here because there's no heat pumping in the church. I cut it all off about an hour ago or 30 minutes ago. So, wonderfully made, wonderfully made. In just a few minutes, we're going to go back here to the fellowship hall and we're going to eat together and we're going to have a time of celebration with the Chalteries for this new life that's coming into their life, another baby girl. And so what I wanted to do this evening is just give you a handful of scriptures to help us understand the preciousness of children and how blessed we are to have them. First one, I want you to look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. And I'm just going to read these slowly. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16 is a passage that we use regularly for Sanctity of Life Sunday, and it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So, as far as God's sovereignty is concerned, when we look at this passage, it leaves no room for error. God knows the exact day that we are conceived, and God knows the exact day that He will bring us home, and He is in complete control of that. And so as we think about our children, and as we think about the timing of our children especially, when I think about mine, you know, Logan is 15, Mary Lauren, how old are you, 13? 13. Micah just turned 10, and Chloe is how old, y'all? 4. So it's a pretty big stretch there at the end. You know, and you always wonder, but I mean, God knew. God knew, and God orchestrated Chloe to be born exactly when He did. And my goodness, does it keep us young? Amen? I mean, it just keeps us alive and well and functioning and moving and grooving all the time, having to chase around a 4-year-old at 49 years old. So I'm actually like a grandfather with a 4-year-old, which is nice. So, but God knew that we needed another baby. Now, Angie's not so sure that we need another one, but I think we do. I think we need another one. We've talked about adopting before, and that's about as far as it gets. But children are a blessing from God. Amen? They are a blessing from God. We are blessed to have them. We are blessed to be in their presence. We are blessed by their smiles. We're blessed when they drive us crazy sometimes, and we're blessed when they help us out. So it's a wonderful thing. Children are a wonderful thing. So I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the scripture also tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, "Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I'll never forget when Logan was born, the first few weeks that we had him, he was our firstborn child, and I absolutely could not stop looking at him. Those of you that have had children, do you remember that? When your firstborn child, it's not that they're any more special than the others. It's just that you'd never had a child before, and now this child that is the perfect genetic splicing of you, just the sovereignty of God and in the coming together of your DNA and your spouse's DNA to produce this another human being. And you're holding that child in your arms, and I could not stop looking at him. I mean, every time I went into the nursery, I would just lean over the crib and just look at him. And I was just mesmerized, just captivated by the fact that this was my son. And the other thing that one of my friends pointed out to me, as you know, I'm an adopted child. Me and my brother and my sister were all three adopted from different families. And somebody had pointed out to me, Shelby, this is something that you probably hadn't thought about, but he is the only person in the world that you know that you are biologically related to. And I was like, wow, I never really thought about that. But the more important thing about that was not only was he my child, but he was also a human being that was what? Made in the image of God. And so there I am looking at my son, and when Logan was younger, when he was a little boy, he looked a little bit more like me than he does now. Now he looks a lot like his great-grandfather on Angie's side. But we are made. That's one of the things that's very interesting about how God has made us, is that when we have biological children, they look like us. Have you noticed that? They look like us. They'll have our eyes, they'll have our mouth, they'll have our nose, they'll have our chin, they may have our hands. And so that I think that's we see the scripture kind of become real. Not that the scripture is not real, but you know what I'm saying? We see like an earthly example. We are made in his image, and then our children are in our image and therefore also in his image. So Genesis 1, 26 and 28, God made us in his image. Psalm 139, 13 and 16, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Another one, Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. They're a heritage. You know what heritage is, right? Heritage is property that descends to an heir. It's something that you can leave to somebody else when you pass away from this world. And that's one of the things that our children are to us. That's why Abraham was so concerned that he didn't have an heir for all his life. He thought that a foreigner that was within his household was going to be his heir, but God told him, no, you will have an heir that will come from your body. And so that's another thing about children that are a blessing, is that they are a heritage from the Lord. Hopefully, and I'm hoping and praying and planning for this, just as the Lord would have it in our life, just as tumultuous as ministry has been for us over the past many years, we just have not been able to stock, you know, to save away a tremendous, huge retirement. That's just not in the cards. Listen to me talking about it like a Baptist preacher. It just doesn't seem to be there for us. So I'm going to probably have to work until I die, which is fine because preachers can work longer than most can. But I'm training my children right now to be my retirement plan. Any of y'all doing that? right? I mean, I'm doing that. I mean, right now we are coaching Logan and Mary and Micah and Chloe. We are coaching them that one day when mom and dad are old and gray and can't move very good anymore, that they need to be prepared to just go ahead and have either a room added onto their house, or, you know, I live in a single wide behind their house, you know, whatever they need, you know, and just bring me in and take care of me. And as long as I'm able, I'll help cut your grass, I'll take out your garbage. You know, if I've got a little bit of Social Security, if it lasts that long, you know, I'll contribute to groceries occasionally. You know, I'll do all these things because they are a heritage. So I'm hoping and praying. So you join me in that prayer, amen? Just join me in that prayer that my children would be convicted of heart. I'm 49, so, you know, if the Lord would bless me with 20 more years of functionality, that would be great. I don't know, but maybe so. And then on down the line, maybe they will begin to take me in or take Angie in. Who knows which one of us goes to heaven first? I don't know, but I just hope that they will be that heritage and help take care of us as we age. Do you know, before, back many, many, many years ago in the colonial days, the reason why they had such large families was for two reasons. Number one was because they all lived on a farm and they had to have farm hands. But number two was that as the older generation aged, there was no such thing as Social Security. There was no such thing as retirement homes or assisted living facilities. You had no choice but to live with family. And so they thought that way. They thought to have large families so that we could take care of one another into our aging years. And I believe the Bible clearly teaches the same. So we have Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 126, we are made in God's image. Psalm 127, 1 through 5, that children are a heritage of the Lord. Now Matthew 18, 1 through 4. And this is the heart of the child that Christ uses as an example to his arguing disciples. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And if you remember this argument that the disciples had continuously, it was who would be, you know, his right-hand man, his left-hand man, who would be, you know, his inner circle. And Jesus calls a child and he put him in the midst of them and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And what I have seen in that passage, as long as I've studied that passage, is the dependency that we see that children have on their parents. Our children depend on us. We have to feed them. We have to protect them. When they're very little, we have to change their diapers, and we have to hold them closely and keep them warm and feed them with a bottle. And this lasts a long time. And then we have to nurture them very closely. They are completely and totally dependent on their parents until their teenage years. And some in our culture, they're dependent on us forever. Hopefully that won't be us. But anyway, Jesus is using the child as an example, saying that we must humble ourselves and become completely dependent upon God. Another passage that is very related to this evening is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. And Derek and Amanda, this is really geared more toward the parents of the children. Listen very carefully to what this says. And you will find this to be more challenging than you realize. It sounds easy, but in fact, it is very difficult to do this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Here's the verse. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." What does that sound like? How often are we supposed to teach our children? All the time, every day. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." That's a lot easier said than done in the hectic, business-driven world that we live in. It is extremely difficult, extremely. But it is in the context of something that is very practical and very simple. It's not that there's anything wrong with having an assembled time that we come together to learn God's Word. We know that precedent and command is in Scripture, coming to a one on Wednesday night, coming to adult Bible study, going to youth study, coming here on Sunday morning, hearing proclamation. All of that is a part of what we call corporate assembly. But when we leave this place, the gospel doesn't stay here. When we leave this place, the gospel goes with us to our home. That was the biggest problem we had in our family growing up. We went to church. We were there. We sat in the pews and mingled with the people, but once we left the building, that was about the end of it. It didn't come home. It didn't take root in our house. The fire of the Holy Spirit was not there. And the way that we harness that is exactly the way that the Old Testament teaches. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Changing the oil in a car. You know, you could talk about the dirtiness of the oil and why new oil has to be put in the car. It's like Jesus paying for our blood is dirty with sin, and Jesus has to purify us and make us holy. Things of that nature. We can do that all the time. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And then finally, the passage that the children need to listen to this evening. Micah, the children need to listen to this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Can anybody say that? Children? What does it say? Children. There we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And let me give one more encouragement. As parents, we are going to fail at this more times than we succeed. But what God wants from us is consistency, okay? A consistent effort to keep the Word of God in front of our children. A consistent effort for them to see us study the Word of God and worship Him in corporate worship and to see that modeled in our life. They know we're not perfect. God knows we're not perfect. We know that. We're never going to be perfect until when? Miss Joy's perfect now, amen? Miss Joy's perfect. She's perfect. She's in the presence of God. The fleshly time is done with her. But for us, it's not done yet. We still have a ways to go. So we try and make an effort to study and to pray and to read Scripture and apply it in our lives. So remember that. Don't beat yourself half to death because your children are not perfectly conformed to the commandments of Scripture. You know why? Because you are not perfectly conformed to the commandments of Scripture. Every day of your life, make an effort, a focused effort, to humble yourself and let God be the authority in your life and do the very best you can to obey His teachings. And you will see God sanctify you slowly over time and bring you where He wants you to be. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for tonight. I thank You for the Chalteries, dear God, and the blessing of being with them this evening and being connected to them and watching their girls grow up and about to welcome a new one into the world. Lord, I thank You that their grandparents are so involved in their life. I know firsthand the great blessing of that when I was a child, having my grandmother and grandmother so involved in our life was such a rich blessing. And I thank You so much that they're getting to experience that. Father, we ask that You be with them, Father. Give them patience and understanding. Give them good communication between each other, Father. And we pray that You would protect this pregnancy, dear God. Bring her to us safely, Father, the mother and the child. And Lord, as we dismiss from this place, we ask that You bless this food to the nourishment of our body and our body to Your service. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right.